Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
I'm glad you're here. Thank you very much for joining us. Exciting to be part of your day today, and to help us to sort of recognize this day and to think about the 911 past and the 911s of the future, we've got Rich Galen, who's our good friend. Rich is a political operative and of the Republican persuasion. In the interest of full disclosure, he is the editor of an outstanding thrice weekly publication that goes out by email called Mullings. It's at mullings.com. He's our good friend, Rich Galen. Welcome back.
Thank you, my friend. Nice to be with you.
It's good to have you back. And Rich, all over the country and maybe around parts of the world, certainly wherever Americans are, and probably a lot of our allies, are going to stop a little bit today and all during the day. This is September the 11th, 2 years after America was attacked by 19 individuals backed up by a lot of other radical, evil individuals. And we were attacked, and we lost about 3,000 folks.
Yeah.
And it changed the world. And a lot of people are going to stop today and sort of reflect on that. And I'd like for you to, if you don't mind, just take a moment and share some of your thoughts with us.
Thanks, Jim. You know, there are two aspects to it. One is, as you say, people will stop or at least pause to think about where they were around between 9 and 10 o'clock in the morning 2 years ago today. But for the most part, things have returned to being more or less typical. I mean, there's some things that are not typical, but a lot of things, we're just going to have a regular day today. And to a great degree, I think that indicates that we are winning this war against terrorism, that the terrorists did not stop everything cold in its tracks forever. So, I mean, we were very optimistic people. You know, Americans are. That's how we got to be Americans. We kind of we see that the glass is half full. There's even the political, as you said, we were talking off the air, even the political hyperbole of folks that are running for president or running for public office, even that's become typical again, which is a good sign. I mean, it means that America has returned to more or less normalcy. The definition of normalcy is a little bit different for anybody who gets on an airplane. You know that, but you know, I think to some degree, Jim, it depends on literally where you were on that day. So those of us who were in Washington D.C. or New York City and could see the damage. I mean, from my house, at that time I was working out of my house, and at my house I could look up and see the smoke from the Pentagon fire.
Mm-hmm.
Pentagon. Miles away. And the people in New York, of course, fires into the towers for weeks. But and it's different. I gave a speech in San Francisco at the beginning, just as the last Gulf War here was starting. And remember, there was pretty high tension in many parts of the country, San Francisco. And one of the things I said to those folks was, you know, in the East Coast, when we see footage of an earthquake out here, say, oh, that's terrible. I hope nobody's hurt, or if somebody's hurt, I hope it's not too many, or, you know, you kind of feel badly. And,
right.
And then you switch to see, you know, what Seinfeld episode is going to be on, you know, the local replay channel. As opposed to being in San Francisco during an earthquake, when you can see the damage, you can feel it, you can hear it. It's a visceral difference. I mean, I know, you know, where you are that you felt very deeply about what was going on, as everybody did, but it wasn't the same response as actually literally worrying as we did in Washington if another plane was coming out.
The only thing, though, Rich, I'm not sure that I completely agree with you, and I'll tell you, I take your meaning, but in this particular issue, I still do this. I actually wrote a poem, and I'm going to read the poem later in the show. I actually wrote a poem, and the title of the poem is, I Just Keep Shaking My Head. And I'll tell you, Rich, for months and months, and even now when I think about it, my reaction is I just shake my head. I can't believe what happened. But the thing is, it did happen. And so the question is now, is it has happened to us, and we've mourned and we've grieved for a couple of years, and is it appropriate for us to continue to mark this day? Is this something, should we just move on, or is it appropriate to mark this day? And when we come back after these messages, I want to ask you that. And then I want to ask you about, what are we going to do with all this? What are we going to do with this, all this emotion that we have? What are we going to do about making sure that this doesn't happen again? And are we doing enough? Are we doing the right things? And we're going to get Rich to tell us about that right after these messages. It's 20 till. Stay with us. Back at 17 till. Jim Lessingame, the small business advocate. Rich Galen is our guest and our good friend. And folks, I encourage you to check out Rich's website and subscribe to his, as I said, thrice weekly outstanding column, which will come, what is this, Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, Rich?
Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and you'll like it. It doesn't take long to read, and you'll get a kick out of it. Even if you disagree with him, you'll enjoy it, I promise. And that's Mullings.com, right, Rich?
Mullings.com.
MULLINGS.com. Check it out. And it's like my newsletter. It's free. So you can't beat the price. And if they don't like it, we'll give them their money back. Right, Rich?
You get every dime back.
Yeah, every penny back. Rich, should we keep commemorating and recognizing and sort of clucking over the 911s of the future? Are we doing the right thing by doing this? Is this an organized thing, or are we, you know, are we kind of just doing it all on our own?
Well, I think it's both. The remembrances this year are significantly less complex than they were last year on the first set of this. I think it's critical that we keep remembering that this happened and how it happened and frankly why it happened, to the extent that we can ferret it out. One of the things that it reminds us of, I think, Jim, is this, that weakness will find an enemy. We went through this after World War I in the United States, where we just literally dismantled the entire military apparatus of this country. And
we just fought the war that ends all wars.
Well, that's right. And as I've written, World War I was called the Great War back in those days because we didn't know we were going to have to number World Wars until we got to World War II. But what happened was that weakness found an enemy, and it took in current dollars, trillions of dollars, and millions of lives, literally, to beat it back. So what it teaches us again is that if you appear to be weak, then enemies will try to exploit the weakness, and you have to make changes for it. So, for instance, after World War II, we reorganized the government by creating the Department of Defense and the CIA. And then after 9/11, we created the Department of Homeland Security, acronym is DHS in Washington. The major difference, and those folks are working really hard, and again, in the interest of full disclosure, I have to say that my wife works there, so I have a special affection for the department, but they put together 170-something thousand people out of various different agencies and departments and pumped them together into this one department to try to be more efficient. And it's hard to do. As I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I said, you know, the reorganization of the Department of Defense and all that happened after the war. We didn't do it during the war.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important that we remember these things, and it's important to remember the lessons that we learned because, again, over time, lessons fade and we make mistakes and the bad guys pop their heads up out of the sand or out of wherever, and come after us again. But
there'll always be bad guys. There are always going to be evil people, and I mean, even if we find Bin Laden, even if we find Hussein, and we get rid of those guys and we get rid of all their guys, we have to remember that evil is something that perpetuates itself. We're not gonna get rid of evil just by getting rid of those two guys.
That's right, and you have to be prepared to defend against it. And I think one of the things that President Bush is trying to make clear of, and I think he's done a pretty good job, is that it's everybody's in this thing. I mean, not just everybody on the East Coast where all this stuff happens.
On the planet.
Everybody, not everybody in the U.S., but everybody on the planet's got a stake in this thing because given the nature of modern travel and modern weaponry, the ability for an al-Qaeda-like organization to strike anywhere. I mean, look at what they did in Bali.
Right.
Took down a nightclub solely to kill as many Australians as they could.
Right.
So everybody's got a stake in working this thing, and it's expensive, and it takes our eye off the ball. But, you know, one of the good things that happens in all these things, especially getting to this particular show, Jim, is that it opens up avenues of commerce that otherwise didn't exist. I mean, we've talked numerous times, you and I, and I know you've talked thousands of times about the things that have dropped out of the space program that allow small business people to provide goods and services that didn't exist before they were invented for that purpose. And the same thing is happening here. Part of the security thing that's going on is that as security devices are developed and invented and engineered, civilian uses for those things will be available, and there'll be businesses that form solely to manufacture, to repair, to install, to instruct. I mean, all those things that people that are in small businesses figure out a way to work. The positive aspect of all this is the theme that runs through all of Crichton's books, mm-hmm. The guy that wrote Jurassic Park, is that life will find a way. Life is very, very tenacious, and it's that way in American commerce. American commerce is very tenacious.
Rich, I wonder.
We'll find a way.
We're going to a break here in a few seconds, and one of the things that concerns me is as important, as elemental, as fundamental as the war on terrorism is to the future of humanity as we know it, in my opinion. I don't think that's an overstatement. I'm having difficulty reconciling how politicians are going to be able to compete with each other without tearing down the effort that any one party is trying to accomplish, whether they're doing the perfect job or a less than perfect job. I'm having a little trouble reconciling how all that's going to happen in the future, and I want you to help us out with that when we come back, folks. I'm going to ask Rich, how can one party run against the other while we're fighting the war on terror without hurting the overall effort? Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back. Back, it's 7 till. I'm looking at the seconds now. It's a minute. I'll learn to tell time one of these days, folks. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and hope you don't mind me speaking over the Star Spangled Banner. I want you to know that I am sending it attention as I do that, though, and not to disrespect it at all. It's a beautiful song. And Rich, you know, I'm 54 years old. I've heard that song how many times in my life? I've saluted it. I've been seeing it in every different venue you can imagine, and it still gives me a little tingle up my spine.
Sure.
After all this time, after all the times I hear it, it's almost as if I've heard it, hearing it for the first time. It's a beautiful piece. Rich, I posed this question as we were going to the break. I know that each political party has to find what's wrong with the other one in order to try to make themselves different and more appealing to their base, but don't each one of the political parties have a certain... I mean, and it would be the same way if the Republicans were fighting the Democrats who were in the White House and in control of Congress. Don't the political parties have some obligation to the greater mission of what this country has to do and not to try to tear down whoever's in charge, not to try to tear them down and unnecessarily? Is that naive on my part?
Well, it's not naive, but it is kind of counter to the way the system works. One of the things that makes America great. I mean, throw out Howard Dean from this equation for a minute, because if he gets the nomination, he's not going to be elected, so I don't think it's going to be elected. But you listen to the other guys, and they're not saying that we shouldn't have gone into Iraq. They're not saying that we shouldn't do anything. What they're doing is trying to tweak the places where we still need work and point those out. And frankly, that's part of what makes our system so vital and vibrant, is that whoever's in power, their theories get tested with regularity every 2 years or
part
every 4 years.
Part of the hardening process is...
Yes, exactly. It's an annealing process. And and what it does is that, I mean, because it's the job of the other party to point out either what's wrong, well, to point out what's wrong, what the Democrats are not doing, I think, and this again put on my partisan Republican hat, is they're not suggesting any reasonable way to make it better. So it's one thing to stand there and point and shout. It's something else to say we need to fix this and put that there. And as business people, how many times have we all said in our lives, don't bring me the problem, bring me the solution.
Right, right.
And that's what I think the Democrats are lacking now. Well, and they'll get it straightened out, I think, over the next year before the election. But I don't want to put, Jim, just if I could finish up this point, yeah. I don't want to put on the Democrats, even as the most partisan Republican as I am, that they want to make America less safe. In this instance, I think there have been times when that might have been the case, but this isn't one of them. Other than Howard Dean, and I think most of the other, when I talk to a lot of Democratic operatives over the course of a week, just kind of doing what I do, and I think other than the Dean people, they don't think that his approach is the appropriate one, either politically or certainly not from a policy standpoint.
Are we, Rich, let's talk about 911s in the future. Are we, do you feel that the terrorists have just sort of gone to ground for a while, or do you think we're actually winning the war on terror?
Oh, I think both. They've gone to ground, but that's because we're digging them out. I mean,
right.
There was a piece in the Washington Post last week that the lead, well, I had this in the column, the lead was that Al-Qaeda is now, literally reduced to having random independent operators wherever they happen to be do bad things in Al-Qaeda's name because they know they can get in the papers that way.
Mm-hmm.
But we're moving very effectively against these guys. And every day I've got friends that are familiar with intelligence operations, and they tell me that the signal intelligence and especially the human intelligence is improving every day. And especially in Iraq, where they appear to be gathering again, as far as our guys are concerned, they couldn't who could ask for anything more? Because
right.
once they start clumping together, they're
right.
called, as I wrote, there's a very technical name for that in military circles, they're called targets.
Right. right. And I saw there was a survey that was reported in the Wall Street Journal this week that, the Iraqis don't feel the way about Americans that a lot of the reporting is indicating.
I think we remember I was in Kuwait and I talked to actual
right.
soldiers
mm-hmm.
who had just cycled out of Baghdad into Crete, and they were very upbeat. They really thought that they were doing a good job, and they understand. Our kids know why they're there, and they want to stay there and finish it.
Right. Rich, your website is Mullings.com. Thank you for being here. Good job today, and God bless you, and God bless America.
Thank you, my friend.
Back to you. Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. God bless America. This is Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.